You are listening to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast, episode number 18.
I was being ineffective at everything I was doing because I was not allocating enough time. I wasn't happy at what I was doing. And I was just really, really just getting strung out rather than being more mindful and accepting the things that I can do during the day and doing the best that I can at them.
Welcome to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast, stories of vibrant women living happy lives. And now your host, Jen Riday.
Welcome, I'm Jen Riday, and this is Vibrant Happy Women. On our last episode, I had the pleasure of talking with Kenya Calderon and hearing her story of immigrating to the United States and being undocumented here, but still thriving. Kenya is making an amazing difference for so many people, and you'll want to hear her story if you haven't already. Before we get started with today's episode, I have a special announcement. We will be offering a free 5-day challenge starting on July 25th. Now, how do you know if this challenge is for you? Well, do you wish you had more free time? Do you crave a little more me time or quiet time? Do you wish you were more patient and less reactive with your children or with other people? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then yes, this challenge is for you. It's called the Mom's 5-Day Sanity Saver Meditation Challenge. Whether you've meditated before or not, this is the perfect challenge for you because each day you'll be given a 5 to 10 minute mini meditation for free. You can do it before you start your day, and I guarantee that you'll feel more balanced, in control, and less reactive. Exactly how we want to feel. If you'd like to sign up, go to jenriday.com/challenge. And now for today's episode, I'll be talking with Kimberly Bost, who is a home and lifestyle expert. She shares her story of overcoming her feelings of being, quote, beaten by the world, and beginning a journey to take back her life. Kimberly learned how to slow down, say no, live in the moment, and enjoy each day. And she really does live a very vibrant, happy life. So we will go ahead and get started with this episode. And you're going to love Kim. I had a great time talking with her. Hello, Vibrant Happy Women. Let's get started. I'm so excited to introduce my guest today, Kimberly Bost. Kim is a home and lifestyle expert living on the banks of beautiful Lake Hickory in North Carolina with her husband, son, and pets. She helps women discover and realize their best home and life, coaching them on how to create spaces and lives that help them thrive. She believes our surroundings and relationships play an important role in creating our energy and bringing our dreams to life. Welcome, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jen. Thanks so much for having me.
So I've given our listeners a little overview, Kim. So take a minute and fill in the gaps and tell us about who you are personally. We want to get to know you a little better.
Okay. As you mentioned, I live in North Carolina. I have an 11-year-old son named Connor and actually 2 grown stepdaughters. I'm actually a step-grandmother. And my husband actually lives here also with me. And that's how I ended up here. I'm originally from New York, and I moved down here about 16 years ago to this beautiful part of the world when I married my husband. And I've been in fashion for a very long time. And in the last few years, I shifted my focus in wanting to be with my son more often and work in interiors, and have moved actually from mostly in the design world into being more of a coach and helping people figure out their own likes and dislikes rather than telling people what to like. It's been a fun journey.
Great. So we like to start off every show with our guest's favorite quote or a personal motto. What would you like to share with us today?
Okay, well, my personal mantra is really just to be kind, always to animals, to people, to nature. It's what I'm most interested in instilling in my son and probably my most important value.
Nice. So let's delve into our next topic, your lowest moment. Every woman has a low point. and most of us more than one. So it's so important that we learn from each other as we go through those struggles. So tell us about a struggle in your journey and starting with the events that led up to this low point.
Okay. Yeah, I've definitely had more than one. But my most recent and most cathartic low point was approximately 2 years ago. I was just in a state of complete and utter overwhelm. As I mentioned, I'd been working in the fashion industry and traveled all over the world constantly for about 15 years. And after I had my son, I made some changes and I was kind of cobbling together different things to be able to work part-time, not travel, and in the meantime, trying to start a business. So I just, between trying to do all that, be there for my son, be there for my husband, my friends, and not wanting to let people down, my attention was just pulled in so many directions. I was rushing around constantly. I would arrive everywhere late and apologizing. I was up too late every night, driving too fast, and just really feeling kind of beaten by the world. My vibration was really low, and I constantly felt just defeated. Very frustrating state to be in.
Oh, for sure. You felt really scattered, I'm sure.
Very.
And we've all been there. It's such a bad thing. So what did you do to pull through that?
Well, I really just was trying to get through each day for a while, and I didn't really know how to get out of it. I knew I probably had to do something soon because I really felt like I was becoming a hazard to myself and to my family the way I was stringing myself so thin. Mm-hmm. But it was about 2 years ago, I had an appointment with a guy I was measuring. I was working with a custom clothing company at the time, and I was measuring him. He was a life coach, and I had heard of that, but I didn't know much about it, and I never really gave it much thought. But for some reason, that day, it really spoke to me as something that I needed to hear more about. And so we spent the next hour, even though I didn't have an hour, talking about what he did, and I ended up hiring him a couple of days later and really began my journey to take back my life. I worked with him and learned to identify what I really wanted in my life and what was there for some other reason, you know, that maybe it wasn't that I wanted it there, or someone else thought I should have it there, or I felt guilty and I had it there, or I was taking on other people's agendas, all that kind of thing. And all that stuff I found was just completely blocking me up. And at that point, that's not when I not only got incredible clarity about my life and my priorities, which I just didn't have before, and I was just letting everything run my life. Over the next year, I made a shift in my personal mission that really resonated with me. And I moved, as I said, from being a designer and kind of doing freelance design work and telling people what the trends are going to be and all that, to really kind of releasing control of that and just helping guide people to learn what they really liked and what really spoke to them. And that, as I said, has been much more fulfilling for me to be doing. I help them find and design their own authentic clarity and find alignment in their environments so they can create their most nurturing and supportive spaces or schedules or relationships themselves. And that, I think, is just so much so fulfilling. I really feel like I help people to thrive, which is what I was not doing when I was at my lowest point.
Okay, that's really neat. So you learned how to identify what you wanted and eliminate the guilt, and then find that clarity of what was important to you. So what would you say you found were your top three or two or three priorities?
Definitely my family, my health. Well, I guess those are just two, but, and my health encompasses a lot of things. I didn't take time for myself. I didn't, you know, I wanted to meditate, but I didn't. There were so many things that I said, when I have time, I'll do this. But also even just paying attention to what I wanted to be doing or not wanted to be doing, you know, did not want to be doing. That was something I always just kind of felt like, oh, well, I have to do that because I, you know, have to. I've kind of taken out of my vocabulary because there's not a lot I really have to do. There's a lot of things I choose to do for different reasons, but the feeling that I have to do things was weighing me down, I think. Mm. So my family and myself, really, my health were the two things that I really found were my priorities.
Family and health. So you got rid of the have to's. How did that change in your life when you started to prioritize family and health? What changed in your schedule?
Oh, gosh. Well, it didn't happen overnight by any means. You know, it takes a while. You can't just quit. You don't identify them all at once either, but you can't just quit everything cold. I guess you can, but I didn't. I started definitely having a greater sense of calm when I was letting go of things. I was not over scheduling myself like I was. I felt like I had more time in the day. because I wasn't packing so much in, and really I was being ineffective at everything I was doing because I was not allocating enough time. I wasn't happy at what I was doing, and I was just really, really just getting strung out rather than being more mindful and accepting the things that I can do during the day and doing the best that I can at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more time in the day. Don't we all want that? That's amazing. So on the contrast, what did you choose to let go of? Kinds of things?
Let's see. Gosh, things that had to do with my family, like maybe something at my son's school that I felt like I'd be letting his teachers down. You know, if it didn't fit in my schedule or it wasn't something that I really wanted to do, and if my son didn't really want me to do it, then I would say no to it, where before I would try to jump in and help because, you know, teachers give so much to our kids. I really should do whatever I can to help them. Just kind of taking a little more time and really thinking it through and editing down what I said yes to and what I said no to. Hmm. With everything, with relationships, with time, with money, I mean, everything. It just kind of transferred into all areas once I started practicing doing that, which was a really valuable thing.
I like that. So you got on the no train, as they say.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Super. I really like that story. That's going to be, I think a lot of our listeners will find that really inspiring because we all do struggle with that lack of time. I once did a survey of lots of people I know or interact with, and the number one stressor is that feeling of not having enough time. So I think this is really helpful.
Great.
So you made it through your low point and you learned a lot from that experience. Tell us more about how you're living a vibrant, happy life today, especially in your home life, because that's always so interesting. We don't get to see what's happening in people's homes. We always would love to be a fly on the wall and observe. So what makes your life vibrant and happy today?
I love to talk about this. As I said, I've really drastically slowed down. I do not schedule nearly what I used to schedule every week, and I feel like I do a better job at the things that I do. I work from home mostly, and I get to sit on my screen porch and hear the birds and sit with my dog and work on my computer, and that is just really wonderful for my soul.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I really do try to, it's so hard, but I do try to live in the moment and try to enjoy each day and the challenges that it brings. I also really have worked hard on consciously raising my vibration if I recognize that I've fallen into things that can drag me down, like self-pity or anger or pettiness, or like if my website crashes, or, you know, things that can be completely frustrating and just send you snowballing into, you know, self-pity basically, or or anger. I really try to practice noticing that and changing it around, and it inevitably works. I'm always surprised that it does. I find that I'm able to move through these things and rise back up more quickly and easily. So there really is something to raising your vibration and consciously doing that, even if you're not feeling it at the moment.
Okay. So some of our listeners might not be acquainted with the phrase raising your vibration or the tools you might be using to pull yourself up to a higher vibration. Can you explain a little more about that?
Sure. Yeah. Lower a vibration is basically where you're resonating with yourself and the people or things you're interacting with. And a lower vibration is usually like a victim type vibration or self-pity or anger or fear. Those can usually be categorized as lower vibration. And if you allow yourself to live there, I mean, sometimes you have to go through that stuff in order to get where you need to be. But if you don't notice that you're there and you wallow, you can stay there and it can snowball. So what you want your goal to be is to move through those things and have a goal of raising your vibration and get more towards compassion and love and kindness to yourself and cooperation and seeing solutions, just bringing things to a positive frame from where they are in a negative place. And I'm not saying you can't have those feelings. Everybody does. But it doesn't serve you to stay there. And identifying it and trying to shift things however you can. And there are lots of different strategies for doing that. But learning some of those and really trying to shift where you are is extremely helpful thing to learn. I don't know if you've ever noticed, you know, some days, like if you're leaving the house and you spill your coffee and you're like, oh, that always happens to me. Or, you know, and then you trip over the dog and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm having such a bad day. If you notice yourself saying that, those kinds of things, you can stop yourself and say, okay, now if I keep going this way, it's going to keep getting worse because my vibration is low and I am really making a ball of you know, crazy for today. So if you can notice that and you can kind of stop yourself and say, no, I don't always do this. It happened just now. I'm sorry it did, but it's, you know, it's not going to happen again. I'm going to clean this up and we're going to have a great day. So sometimes it's hard to do, kind of hard to pull yourself back on the road like that, but it can really change the trajectory of your day, or it can guarantee that you're going to have a bad day.
Yeah, I like that. And consciously pulling yourself back on the road, we don't need to stay stuck in the ditch, right?
Right, exactly. That's nice. Exactly.
You mentioned balancing time and prioritizing life. Tell us more about the design side of your business, how you help women organize their space to resonate with what they want to feel.
Well, a lot of it begins with them really doing some self-exploration and figuring out what they really want to feel. A lot of times, moms and women in general are so busy taking care of their family and everyone else that they, a lot of times, have gotten out of touch with what they themselves really need or want or like. So a lot of times I'm working with people to get in touch with what they don't even know is there. So that's always pretty exciting. And then there are other people that do know what they like, but they like too much and they're way overwhelmed and they have no idea how to cull it down and how to make it into something that will help them and make them happy. And some people are overwhelmed with clutter, and that can be something that really steals your energy and your joy. And that is, there are a number of reasons why we hold on to clutter, and I've been through a lot of them. but that's something a lot of people need to address as well. So there are a number of different ways to approach it.
Okay. So speaking of clutter, I've always been curious. Are there people who are happier with clutter, and then you would encourage them to continue living that way? Or have you found most people really do want to get rid of the clutter?
You know, I think people, honestly, and this, my jury is still out on this, because I truly believe that even if you like to have some clutter around, clutter in itself is a symptom of something else, either that you can't let go of, or you can't move through, or just, it could be any number of things. It could be a family dynamic. Yeah, I think there are people that are more comfortable with clutter. Now, whether or not it's serving them, it may be serving them, but it may not be serving them in a positive way. And I think there are different levels of clutter. I think there are minimalists who, you know, want next to nothing. And then I think there are people that like to have their collections. And that's fine too, as long as they're, you know, maintained and they bring you joy. But if it's just a matter of amassing things or not being able to let go of things, then I think it's a problem. And it's something that if you address and you move through, you'll be able to, you know, move forward in different areas of your life that you want to.
Okay. Okay. So I asked because I'm a neat freak and my husband has no problem with clutter. So it's always the balancing act between us.
Yes.
But I see the benefits of his side of the coin, because he has so much more time to play games with their kids, and I'm always spending a lot of energy trying to put away the clutter. So it's always a funny balancing act.
Well, he can play games with the kids because he doesn't have to crawl through the clutter because you're cleaning up.
Right. I'm an enabler.
He needs to thank you.
Oh, he does. That's funny. So is there anything else you want to tell us about how you're living a vibrant, happy life? Things that you've learned or that have been meaningful to you?
Well, I did go through a massive cluttering myself about a year ago, and I found a lot of things that I... and reasons that I hung on to things. And I found it truly cathartic to let go of so much stuff and to come through figuring out why I was holding on to it and really learn how to make better choices about what I bring into my house and how to maintain things. It's just made my home so much more peaceful and calm to not have stuff that I didn't have anywhere to put. mm-hmm. or just stuff that I was pretty much, I was turning into a caretaker of a bunch of stuff that I wasn't using anymore, but I didn't want to put in the landfill, or it might fit me again, or somebody bought it for me. And, you know, the guilt and the worry and the fear, all that kind of stuff. It felt really good to let go of that and just feel, and I can do it again. I mean, I feel like I did one pass and I can do another pass and get rid of more stuff. So I want more time to focus on living and not on taking care of all the stuff.
Right. So when you let go of the stuff, is it followed by a liberating feeling for you personally?
Yes. And it hasn't always been, but I got a lot out of the, I know a lot of people have thought it was a little extreme, and there are some places that are extreme, but the Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo, I really got a ton out of that book. Just her method of going through each category, pulling out every item of clothing that you have in your home and going through each one and determining if it sparks joy or not. Just the very practice of doing that over and over and over again really kind of strengthens your decision muscle and makes you all the better at making everyday choices about that kind of thing. So I liked her all or nothing approach in that regard, and it really worked well for me.
I like that too. Does this item bring me joy? I'm going to yep. try that. So yeah. You mentioned a book, and that brings us to my favorite part of the show when we talk about your favorite things. So let's jump right to the book question. Would you say that is your favorite book, or do you have another you'd like to talk about?
Gosh, I've got 1,000 favorite books, but I would say that has been, I hate, you know, it's kind of cliche, but The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up has been life-changing for me. And I highly recommend that book and the method that she purports. But, you know, there are some things that go a little crazy. Like she says, don't roll your socks because they have feelings. And some people are like, I can't listen to anything she says because that's just ridiculous. And I just would encourage people to take that kind of thing with a grain of salt and, you know, really try to see it for the big picture of how she's trying to get you to surround yourself with things you love and not let the stuff that you don't love sap your energy.
Right. It's funny. Socks have feelings too. That needs to be a bumper sticker. Socks have feelings too. So what is your favorite personal habit that contributes to your success?
Okay. Every morning, well, during the week, during the weekday, when my son goes to school every morning, we meditate before school together. I have done a lot of the Chopra meditations, and I have a lot of them on my phone. And I wake my son up every morning, and we do one of the Chopra meditations before he gets ready for school, and we get on our way, which I feel like it just really gets us going on the right foot and just puts us in a good frame of mind.
So does he enjoy meditating with you?
Yeah, he does. Sometimes he's a little more vertical than I am, but but he does. And if we don't do it one day, he's like, are we going to meditate tomorrow? So
that's great.
He does. Yeah.
How old is your son?
He's 11.
11. That's a good age to get that started. I like that.
Well, we've been doing it for probably 2 or 3 years now. So
is this an app on your phone?
Yes. It's actually Chopra, Deepak Chopra and Oprah do 21-day meditations, I think maybe twice a year. And I usually purchase them. And it's like maybe $30 or $40 to buy the 21 days. It's actually 22 days worth of meditations. And then you can access them anywhere. And I have an app for the meditations on my phone. And so I can meditate anywhere. And I just bring my phone upstairs and we turn it on, pick a meditation.
Oh, that's really neat. I like that.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite easy meal that you guys like to eat fairly often?
We kind of wrangle my husband into this, and sometimes we have to add meat to it for him, but we do a Buddha bowl, which is like just a bowl of rice. And then we get the sheets of seaweed that we cut up, roast some vegetables like sweet potatoes or zucchini or something, and then chickpeas, pretty much just out of the can, rinsed, and then some like green goddess dressing or something yummy like that. If I roast a bunch of vegetables at the beginning of the week, it's a super easy thing just to throw together on a weeknight. It's less easy if we have to add meat for my husband, but
so you're a vegetarian and he's an omnivore.
Well, I'm not really a vegetarian, but I do try to. That would be a good meatless meal to have during the week. Uh-huh. But sometimes he wants meat every day. So
So you said roast a pan of veggies at the beginning of the week. Give us a tip on how you do that.
Okay. I love roasted vegetables and I eat them on lots of stuff. I love doing just a couple pans. I'll put them in the oven. I'll cut them up and just toss them with olive oil and maybe sprinkle a little salt on them, sea salt on them, and just put them in the oven. Depending on the veggie, they'll take more or less time. Let me see. Probably zucchini I do in discs, and that's probably, I don't even know. I just check it. Probably 20 to 30 minutes. Sweet potatoes cook faster than regular potatoes, but I'll chop them up in probably about an hour in the oven. But I'll do some of that on Sunday and just have roasted veggies in the fridge then for putting on salads or in a Buddha bowl or something during the week.
That's brilliant. Yum.
Really yummy.
Yum.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, our next question, what's your current favorite household object? Now, this is funny because we talked about decluttering. So we know you're going to really love this object because you kept it.
Well, I know. And I struggled to think of an object. First, I said, okay, my dog, but he's not really a possession. I guess he's more a family member. I don't think I can count him. And then I thought, my screen and porch, but that's not really an object or a possession. So I finally settled on my Ninja that I make my smoothies with in the morning.
The Ninja, it's a blender?
Yeah. I use it just about every day. So very handy.
What do you put in your smoothies? What's your favorite smoothie?
It depends. I have a really good plant-based protein powder that I'll put in sometimes that is good. But a lot of times we'll do whatever fruits are in season, but we always pretty much always have frozen bananas in the freezer, and they make any smoothie, no matter what you're putting in it, they make them delicious. So frozen bananas in the freezer. If we're out of those, we'll skip the smoothie that day and we'll do something else. But
perfect. Yummy. Yeah. So what's a favorite item on your bucket list?
Okay. My bucket list. I don't have a big bucket list. I had a friend ask me about my bucket list the other day, and I think I've traveled so much and I'm very happy and content where I am that I don't have a huge bucket list, but I am going to write a book, which I've started doing research on. And I've got a list of people I want to target, but it's going to be a book about women who have influenced me and the spaces that they love and why they love them. So I've just really started pulling together information, but so I guess it's kind of a big bucket list that I want to meet all these great women.
Ooh. So I'm already excited. Intrigued. I want this book already.
Great.
The best advice you've ever received.
Okay. Fake it till you become it. Basically, start before you're ready. I did that with one of my first jobs. I worked for Liz Claiborne, and I had been at another job that was just awful, and I lost that job, and I was out of work, living in New York City, and just desperate. And one of my best friends was like, I found out about this interview at Liz Claiborne and they needed a sweater designer. And I was like, well, I'm not a sweater designer. I'm like an activewear designer. And she's like, just fake it. And so I'm like, okay. And so I did. And I got the job and I scrambled and I learned. And it was a great job. And it gave me a leg up into a lot of other things that I did. And I truly believe that if you wait until you're ready, you'll never start. So that was a good lesson for me early on to just jump in and figure it out.
Start before you're ready. That's excellent advice. I've definitely followed that one in my life for sure.
Yeah.
So looking back on your life so far, tell us about your happiest moment.
My happiest moment has got to be the first second I heard my son cry.
Aww.
Because he was born I was 36, and he was a pretty traumatic emergency C-section. He had his cord around his neck 3 times. And I was just, talk about cortisol coursing through your body when your kid's born. I mean, I was in a state of complete and utter terror when he was born. And that actually came after a few years of doing IVF and struggling with infertility. So the first moment that I heard my son cry was probably the most joyful moment of my life.
That's great.
Yeah.
Vibrant Happy Women, you can find links to everything we've been chatting about, to everything Kim has mentioned, the books and the recipes and ideas, in today's episode by going to genready.com/18. So Kim, now our final but most important question. If you had to create a 3 to 5 part formula of actions or behaviors that maximize your happiness, what would that include?
I would have to say practicing living in the moment and not letting the past and the future interrupt your present happiness or what you're going through presently. So living in the moment, practicing gratitude, and spending time with your family and friends, the people that mean the most to you. I think those three things are my recipe for a super happy life.
That's perfect. Living in the moment, practicing gratitude, and spending time with family and friends. So those are your priorities and you fit them into your yep. life. That's brilliant. Love that.
Yep.
So Kim, thank you so much for being on the show today. You're such an inspiring person. I love talking with you. I cannot wait to read your book.
Thank you.
And again, our listeners can find links to everything we talked about today on jenridey.com/18. And I hope one day when your book's finished, we can go in and put a link to your book there as well.
Sounds great.
Let the listeners know where they can find you and then we'll say goodbye.
Okay. Yes. You can find me at highvibehome.com and highvibehome on Facebook. And I do 7-day challenges regularly where we raise the vibration in your home. We do exercises to clear your clutter and make your home a happier, more peaceful place to be. So I'd love for you to join me there at High Vibe Home and highvibehome.com.
Excellent. And who doesn't want a more peaceful home? Thank you.
Right.
And finally, we love when our guests give us a parting challenge, an actionable challenge. What would you like to challenge us to do this week or this month?
Okay. I'd like for you to think about the things that you may be holding on to, either physically or mentally, that may be holding you back. Think about if these things are bringing you joy, and if they're not, how you can let go of them and move on.
Great advice. Thank you so much for being on the show today. And I hope we'll have a chance to talk again.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Take care, Kim.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to join me next time when I talk with Amber Liljeström about how we can create a life we love. And don't forget to sign up for the Mom's 5-Day Sanity Saver Meditation Challenge, which begins on July 25th. You'll get a free meditation every day of the challenge, and you can use that 5 to 10 minute meditation to start your day off right, to become less reactive and feel more in control of your time, and simply to savor that me time you have been craving. Again, you can sign up by going to jenridey.com/challenge. So until next time, make it a great week and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast at www.jenridey.com.